turn your Bible with me in the book of Revelation. Before we can try to understand what is former rain or later rain, let us understand the situation of the churches in the end time. We will look at the book Revelation chapter 3, and we will talk a little bit about these are the last day church, the lukewarm church, the Laodicea church. Guess what we get from this church? Revelation chapter 3, verse 15. And here God say, you, my church, you are my Amante church. The church of the last day say, I know your work, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you were lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and I do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. God saying the last day church in the mood of lukewarm. 1 foot in the church, 1 foot in the world. It's not make decision to change people's lives. It's not make an impact to the world and think they have nothing, they have everything. They have a church, they have a car, they have a house, they have a job, they have everything, need of nothing. I remember I met a man who came to this country, start from scratch to build up some business. And he started a business, a Medicare business, and he started one and have two, three, and four, and five, and he need of nothing. And I witnessed to him, he said, I don't need anything. What do you have to give to me? That's what he said. Years later, I received a phone call. He asked me to come to visit him in the hospital. And he told me the story that he had need of nothing. He did even not buy any health insurance. And one day came, he broke down in his health, and he had to sell all five of his store, and it's not even enough to pay the bill. There's time the church, we think we need of nothing, and this is what God calling us. We are miserable, are naked, are poor. We in need of God's Spirit. Sometimes we want to run our church, run our life the way we want to. Did not ask Jesus for counsel. Did not ask Jesus or God for help. And when we come to the point we have dead end, we say, Lord, help me. We start crying out, Lord, help us. What happened to us? What happened to the church in the last day? Well, let's understand the church or the Israelite in the former day, what happened to them? They cried out the same thing, and God have instructed them and counseled them. Let's turn to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. These are the people facing crisis. When God took them out of the land of Egypt through 40 years in wilderness, come into the promised land. You know the word promised land. I thought it's heavenly place. But no, they bombarded with the Philistine. They bombarded with many heathen. And here they cry now for God. And God said, if my people... 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people who are called my name and will humble themselves, God say, you need to humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. That's what happened to them. The health, the land. God say, if you come and humble, there will come a day. The church of God in the last day, God will call, come and humble before God can bless them. What kind of blessing is this? God has portrayed the idea of blessing and a blessing of the Spirit in a rain. Turn with me in the book Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1. Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1. That's one of the few books, very small, and almost the end of the Old Testament. Just before Malachi. Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1. As the Lord asked the Lord for rain, in the time of later rain, the Lord will make flashing clouds, and he will give them showers of rain, grass in the field for everyone. That means say, come and ask for rain. When if the Bible said later rain, this must be a former rain. And so the idea of former rain and later rain is coming to the Old Testament and is fulfilled in the New Testament in the end time. What is rain? Why do people need rain? The illustration of rain, when you have a seed, when you sow the seed into the ground, you need water. You need rain. It's a dry desert place. If there's no water, no rain, the seed will be dry up and is dead. And the seed of truth put into the heart of God's people, it need to pour out in the rain in the spirit form. So people can revival. Their life can be changed. But at the same time, as the harvest come around, in order to harvest a plentiful harvest, you need a later rain. So showers get in between, but the end time is a much more later rain coming in. So God have portrayed this idea of rain into this minor prophet to let us understand there's a spirit of a former rain and the pouring spirit in a later rain. And someone told me that, well, a long time ago, God did so much miracle, and God don't do miracle anymore. I said, no, God of yesterday and today and tomorrow are the same. God in the process of healing people and bring miracle to people. Now, why today we do not receive the Spirit like the former rain? Why? Because we are not ready. We not accept it. And matter of fact, maybe people don't want to accept it. And a lot of people will do this in the end time. Matter of fact, you believe that the Satan will try to do counterfeit everything, right? When you talk about the Sabbath, Satan will counterfeit the Sabbath. If you're talking about the end time, second coming, Satan will counterfeit. Do you think that Satan will counterfeit the later rain as well? Yeah. Yes. And so people of God think, yeah, in order to receive the later rain, let's make a movement. And so people come and fast and pray and cry to the Lord, and they feel excitement, and they feel all the emotion. And they feel, yes, that's it, the Spirit coming to being. But the people have not changed a bit. People go out still drinking and smoking and fighting, and problems still occur. See? That is not true spirit. In order to understand the true spirit of rain, we need to go back and understand the true spirit of the former rain. Then we can apply into the later rain. Well, 500 years before Jesus come to this earth, people cried out because they are so bombarded with so many other heathen took on the land, took the women, the children, took all the crop. And they cried out to God. And God promised them for rain. And we can see that idea in the book of Joel. Please turn with me in the book of Joel, chapter 2. Joel, chapter 2, verse 23. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain come down for you, the former rain, and the later rain in the first month. Now, this speaking symbolically about the Spirit. Why do I know that? Because verse 28 says this, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see vision, and also on my maidservant and maidservant, I will pour out my Spirit on those days. And see, the word rain and Spirit are coincide. Symbolic here is talking about rain. At least why I say this, the former rain have come, the day of Pentecost. And the later rain will come later. So in other words, a partial rain have come first, and the Spirit will come into a later time. in the later rain. Well, let's visit the idea of Pentecost. Turn with me in the book of Acts, chapter 1. The book of Acts, chapter 1. We're beginning with this book to understand what the formal rain is about. If we understand how the disciple asking for formal rain, then we will know how to ask for later rain. Now here the disciple. When Jesus resurrected, many don't believe that he resurrected, even the disciple. But Jesus come to being and come spend time with them. Verse 3, for seeing of those doing 40 days, speaking of those things about the kingdom of God. God spent with the disciple how many days? 40 days. Talk about what? About the kingdom of God. Remember when Jesus come, the people of God, the Israelites, the Jews, expecting God will start the kingdom on this earth. Okay? And so, this is what Jesus reminded them about the kingdom of God. Verse 4, and been assembled together with them, this means God, Jesus walked with them, and commend them not to depart for Jerusalem, from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. In other words, the disciples need to wait for the promise of the Father before they go out. What promise is that? Verse 8. Here it is, the promise. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit have come upon you, and you shall be witness to me in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. That is a promise. I will give, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will come down, then you will see the kingdom of God will be established. How? You will need to receive the Spirit. Then you can go out to Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea, and throughout the earth. Just imagine, think about the later rain. Ask for the Holy Spirit to come to the El Monte Church. When you receive it, then you go out to the whole city of El Monte. Then the next up, go out the whole county of Los Angeles. The next up, go all throughout the United States. And the next up, you go out all the world, 7 billion people. That's what God said. The later rain is the same thing like a former rain. Wait until the Holy Spirit comes, then we can go out. Now, a lot of time we can go out, do many things, and we don't see the result. Could it be that we try to do on our own talent, our own method, but not by the Spirit of God? God said, as you begin of this year, let's pray for the Holy Spirit. Now, of course, they come to pray. They're eager for that. And so when they see Jesus took up ascension to heaven, and they left by themselves. And they remember this promise, wait in Jerusalem until Jesus give the Holy Spirit. So what did he do? We look into verse 13. We see that they met in the upper room. And go to 14. What did he meet in the upper room for? For all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman and Mary of mother of Jesus and with his brother. How many people meet in the upper room? 120. Next verse you already see 120. Can you imagine? Just a small room. You know, they don't have a big home. A small upper room. 120 people jam in one room. For how many days? For 10 days. 10 days you come into a room, and that time they are fear of a Roman soldier, and so they stay there 10 days. 10 days, 10 days. Have you ever locked yourself up in 10 days in a room? How about if I squeeze 5 people in your room? How about the whole church, 100 people come in your room? You just imagine, they come together. What's the purpose of them? They come to one accord. That means we are on the same page. We have the same ministry, same belief, same mission. Because back then they are not have same mission. They want to go their own way. They have their own dream. They already think about what they're going to do when they enter the kingdom of God. Who will be first and who will be last? Who doing what? Who going to sit in the right hand of Jesus? They think about something else. They are not in one accord. Matter of fact, my friend, if we come to one room and have in 10 days, soon later we have one accord. Not only that, they in prayer. Let me tell you about prayer. What do they pray about? In order to receive the Holy Spirit, and you know that they receive the Holy Spirit in chapter 2, and Peter is going to tell you what do they pray about. Okay? Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Acts chapter 2, verse 8. This is a requirement in order to receive the Spirit. Then Peter said to them as he preached, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remissions of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Did you catch that? In order to receive the Holy Spirit, you need to repent. You need to confess. You need to come to one accord. You need to forgive each other. You need to reconcile. So I can imagine in those 10 days, sweet ties in those 10 days, and it's hot, like in there, they sweat and maybe smelly. But they don't think about it. They don't think about hungry. They think about our what? What do you think in the mind? What do you think? The promise of Holy Spirit. That's all they think. And so maybe fast day, you don't feel hungry anymore. Because you think of something even more greater. The thing about the Holy Spirit pouring out to the disciple. And so what did they do? I can think about maybe James and John, they want to be right hand and left hand of Jesus, and now they need to confess their sin. Confess their sin. That they want to be a better than other disciples. They have pride in their heart. They ask God for forgiveness. What about Peter? Peter forsook Jesus. He denied Jesus. Now he comes to the point he kneel down and concentrate on the day have go by, and he have denied his own master. He said he will die for Jesus, but he denied that. He afraid. But now he comes to the point, Lord, he said, "Forgive me. I speak too quick. So my anger." So Peter started confessing and repenting. What about Thomas? He probably confessed his sin about doubt that Jesus does not resurrect. When Jesus came to him and said, "Touch me and feel the nails of my hand," then Thomas said, "Wow, this is Jesus." You see, all the doubt, all the unbelief, lack of faith, lack of prayer, lack of Bible study, lack of witnessing. God said, "If you come and confess your sin, I will forgive all your sin." Can you imagine 10 days in the upper room, squeezing tight? If I sit next to you and we have something we not agree, guess what? 10 days, we have to come to agreement. Because you and I cannot split. You just stuck with me for life. And I stuck with you for life. That's what it is. We are stuck with each other for life. We are together in the same boat. We have the same dream, same mission, same vision that we want the power of the Holy Spirit. They come to one accord and ask for the Holy Spirit. They pray and pray and pray. That's what God asks for the end time. That's God asks for end time. Unless we are daily advancing in the application of the active Christian virtue, we shall not recognize the manifestations of the Holy Spirit in the later reign. Not unless we look at ourselves, self-examination, understand where we at, and ask God for help. If we don't do that, we will never receive the Holy Spirit for later reign. Everyone in that upper room come to one accord. Every one of us, not one of us sit in this room. If you say, "No, I'm not gonna go along with this group," I plead with you that you come to one accord. Because we need the Holy Spirit, just like you will need the Holy Spirit. So everyone come together. Christ will be glorified in the day of Pentecost. So Well, he again will be glorified in the closing work of the gospel when he shall prepare a people to stand the final test in the closing conflict of the great controversy. God asks us the same thing God asked his disciple 2,000 years ago. Do you know he longed to pour his Holy Spirit down in the former rain? He longed to see that. He longed to see the disciple come together, reconcile. If you find your sin against God, confess it. If you find your sin against your brother and sister, reconcile it. If you've done wrong or say something negative, let it come together and learn to forgive each other. God cannot pour out his Holy Spirit if we cannot be united. Not within only this church, but all the churches in the world, we count it united in one accord. God say, let come. We cannot accept Holy Spirit unless we're not ready. Just like as much as water pour out on my hand, if I don't hold tight enough, it will leak all out. Because you come together. Pull together. Put your hand together. Ready to accept the Holy Spirit. God longed to pour it out to our church now. At this year 2012, God longed to pour it out. I want to see great things because God wants to see it. I want to do great things for the Lord because God wants me to do it. God wants to change you. God wants to change your family. God wants to change your church. Do you want God to do something great in this year of your life? What happened when the Holy Spirit came in the former rain? They went out and preached. 3,000 were baptized. 5,000, the whole village. There's no church can hold them. The church planting so many places, so many people know about God because the Holy Spirit come. God say, when the Holy Spirit come, it's not just only fulfillment of your need in the church, but for you to have a witnessing power. The later rain come is the witnessing power. The connection between witnessing and later rain. You understand that? Rain doesn't come for you just enjoy yourself. To be happy. To be satisfied. To be allowed to see in church. No. It's witnessing power. Witnessing power. God has put the rain down. It's a witnessing power to other people so they can be saved. That they can be saved, my friend. Imagine if I drive my car toward heaven and someone hitchhikes and say, no, I don't want to take you to heaven. It's the best place. And I don't want to pick up anyone. I let them die in their sin. My friend, God will touch our church if we have a heart to save other people. They need God as much as you need God. They need to be saved as much as you are saved. My friend, that's what God called for. That's why when the Holy Spirit come into the former rain, the people speak in tongues, speak in other language, and heal the sick, and visit the poor, and the naked, and the people in prison. That's what the Holy Spirit come. The Holy Spirit not just come for you to do a great thing for the church and preach a great thing about the Sabbath and this end of it. No. Today are you visiting the poor, the widow, the people in prison, the people who need help. That's the Spirit. That's what the disciple did. And when we visit the poor and the outcast, when they see you have the reflection light of Jesus Christ, they will cry now, tell me how do you find that happiness? Tell me how you find that hope? Tell me about your Jesus. My friend, the world will come to one day that they couldn't find any hope in idol, any hope in politics, any hope in leader of this world, but they will find hope in you because they see you have that joy, that happiness. That's what they see the disciple. How can they be so joyful? How can Paul and Silas in prison, they so joyful? How can be so happy? If I were in prison, I might still be joyful. Yes. We are Christian. We'll be joyful in any place, in any time. To show us that we have Jesus in our heart. When the Spirit comes in the later rain in our church, we'll receive it. We don't have to work hard. We don't have to work at it. We just become Christ-like character. You should become Christ-like character. You're so happy. You're so joyful. You're so gracious. You are giving. And you bring blessing to your friend, to your neighbor, and to the world. I don't know what other church is doing. But I want to ask for God to pour out His Spirit in our church. I want to. Do you want to? I want something to happen. What happened to the former rain and the early church? I want to happen to the later rain and the end time church. As a former rain started a movement to start the church, the later rain will end with the movement at the end time church before we walk into the heavenly kingdom. That's what we'll take. God calling us. God calling you and I. Let's make commitment together in this 10 day of prayer. And beyond that, continue accept the Holy Spirit to do something for you, for your family, for the church, and for the world. Are you ready for that? Are you willing to confess your sin like the disciple? Are you willing to repent? Are you willing to reconcile with other people that you have made wrong with? Are you willing to come to someone and ask them, please forgive me because I hurt you with my word, with my action? My friend, my church member, let's do exactly what the disciple did so we can have the Holy Spirit in our church this 2012. Would you join with me? Would you join with me by standing and saying, Lord, I will make that commitment. I want to receive it. In order to receive it, I will let it go. My pride, my anger, and to accept Jesus. I will confess my sin that I have not spent time with God, that I have left God. I want to come back to God. I want to confess that I have not faithfully paid tithe. I have confessed to God that I have not faithfully kept your Sabbath. I want to confess to God that I have not followed your Ten Commandments. And I have confessed to you that I have not loved everyone that you bring into my contact. Are you willing to do that? For every eye is closed. And every heart faced toward God. Ask God silently to come in your heart, to forgive your sins, and give you the Holy Spirit. Oh God, dear Lord God, at this moment you have heard every person's voice that come to the throne room. You know each one of our sin, our weakness. Please cleanse us. Just like David said, cleanse my heart and don't forsake me. Lord, do not forsake our church. Make our heart new again. That when we come together in one accord, as of now, Lord, we ask you for 10 days that you be with us. And we were expecting, just like the disciple expecting, that you will pour your Spirit out into this very church to finish the work that you have bestowed upon us. Lord, bless each of our member, each of our friend here, each of our guests, that we come here together, that we hear your word. I pray, I plead with you, none of us in this room will be lost when you come. I pray that every one of us will receive the later rain, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I pray that we use each one of us mightily in the years to come. Lord, I pray that you protect each of our family members to save them and give us the challenge to be witness for you until you come again. We pray all through the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. May God bless our church this year.